Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
From Vienna, Jeff, FedEx Air and Ground Awards are fan votes. Thank you. That explains it. Appreciate that. I did not know that. I am wrong for blaming FedEx for picking Bill as the Ground Award winner. I get it now. I mean, that was the most watched game. His performance was viewed by many more people, and the Dolphins-Panthers game was viewed by very few and was really an afterthought in any sort of post, you know, Sunday highlight show. I mean, but the point is that Rico Dowdle rushed for 206 yards and was clearly, clearly had the best day as a running back at 9 yards per carry on 23 carries of any running back performance this year. But that makes sense. I appreciate you sending that to me. All right. Have talked about Steve Suter a little bit here over the last 3 weeks. He is doing film breakdowns of the Skins games for me once a week on the podcast, and I'm playing some of it back on the radio show. He's excellent. For those of you who don't know who Steve is, Steve calls the games with Johnny Holiday, the Maryland games on the Maryland Football Radio Network, which we carry. By the way, 3:30 kick on Saturday against Nebraska. You can hear it right here on the Team 980. Steve was one of the greatest punt returners in the history of college football when he left Maryland in 2004. He was the all-time ACC punt return leader in multiple categories, same thing NCAA record-wise. He was an incredible punt returner and not a bad receiver either. He's just excellent in breaking down the film. He's got a passion for it, and he's been doing a great job on looking at these games, the All-22, and helping us with a level of expertise that you don't really get off of a lot of the internet film breakdowns, unless it's a legitimate film breakdown person. Cooley was the best ever. I'm not replacing Cooley ever, but Cooley doesn't do it anymore. He's not interested in even football. He doesn't watch a lot of games, and he just doesn't have the time for it. So the part that I wanted you to hear was just Steve talking about Jaden's return and the performance that he had.
Jaden was great. I thought Jaden was awesome. Rewatching the game, going through the All-22 play-by-play, I thought his timing was really good. I gave him two negative plays, and the one was on right after their third possession. It's a zone read. He pulls it. Derwin James is really good athlete out there. You're not going to fool him. It probably should have been a give, but the play was going to get blown up anyway, even if he gave it, so not that big of a deal. The very next play, he misses lane on a deep crosser. That's the standard NFL throw. He's got to put it on him. And that was it. Those were the only two negative plays I gave him. The rest were just Jaden Daniels doing what he does. And I thought his timing in the pocket and knowing when to scramble and having the feel of when to extend the play was all perfect. He wasn't leaving the pocket when he had open receivers. And when he needed to leave the pocket, it was because things were covered, because the Chargers had played a good defense in the secondary, and he knew he needed to make a play with his feet, and he did. I was really impressed. There was a couple times, there was one time that they blew the coverage. I don't know if you can remember the broadcast play, but it was one of those it was, you know, they had to delay the game, and he's late at the line of scrimmage trying to change play, right, trying to change protection, and they leave the DN unblocked. So they missed that. That's not all on him. That's all up on the line, too. They just didn't get it right. But then the next play, and it's the third down to McNichols, where he shakes Tarif Steele on the sideline on the big third and 10 to get the first down. It was, you know, like a huge play in the ball game.
The McNichols play, you said.
Yeah.
It was third and 11, yeah. And great run after catch, right?
Great run after the catch. But so he's early, in my opinion, on that Daniels, but it's because the play prior, they blow the protection, so he gets a little antsy. On that play, he swings it to McNichols, and he shakes him and gets the first down. Great job, right? Good individual effort by McNichols. But he's got McCaffrey on an easy drag coming across formation if he just holds the ball for another second. But I think his clock's messed up because they just messed up the protection. So no harm, no foul, but he could have had an easier read. Other than that, so then you come back to, and I want to find the play here.
I'm seeing the McCaffrey. Yeah, he unloads that quickly. It's third and 10. So what do you think? He thinks, like, the chances of essentially, you know, a check down getting the first down are not high. And he went to it immediately. Because now that I see this, I thought maybe it was a design sort of swing, but that's a check down, correct?
So I would say that. I would say it was design swing only if he was hot, but they're not hot. They're bringing sick, but they're getting it picked up. So, Washington's offensive line's picking up the pressure.
Yeah.
So he's not hot off of this blitz read at all. So he should feel comfortable enough that he can stand in the pocket and maybe go through a read or two. But he's a little antsy, and he swings it out there, and it's just quick timing. Yes, you can dig him on. Like, look, you got to stay in the pocket here. We're picked up on the pass protection. You're gonna have McCaffrey come wide open here across the field, and he's gonna say, "Yeah, you're right. I probably could have sat on that, but I wanted to get the ball out. I wasn't sure if we were getting it picked up because we just missed the pickup the last play." So yeah. I can see how that gets in your head, but I mean, you get away with it, right?
They run make the play. Do they run a super high number of crossers?
I can't say that they do because they don't see. They haven't seen a lot. Well, they did see some man coverage here from the Chargers. They saw. You got to scout the team prior, and if you're going to think you're going to get a lot of man coverage, then yes, it behooves you to run a lot of crossers. And they're hard to cover. You run away from man coverage instead of running curls and stick routes, right? So I think that's game dependent.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Big tackle.
All right. Continue with Jaden.
Yeah, so Jaden was great. His timing was great. Decision making was great. Ability to extend plays was really good. You mentioned a couple of the balls. I mean, the McCaffrey ball is an absolute 10 out of 10. That's a perfect pass. You can't run out there and hand it to him any better in position because the defender's on him. So he made throws when he needed to. You mentioned the third down to Lane. That's a big-time throw. Then he stayed in the pocket and hitting Debo on crossing routes. I didn't see any mental mistakes, and he made plays and extended it when he had to. It was just – it's the highest score I've given any player on the team since I started grading. So that'll give you a factor of what I thought about his play.
What about – his accuracy.
And he just looks different, right? Sorry to jump.
Doesn't he just look
different? When he decides to take off, it's different. It looks different. I mean, it's Lamar-esque. He's the closest to Lamar in the league for sure. But his first step is just so fast. It's night and day from even Mariota, who's an athletic quarterback. When he decides to move in the pocket and he wants to go get some yards, those first two steps are just really quick. And it's such an advantage to have that in your arsenal. Just go to the third quarter, minute 14 seconds. I want you to see that. This is one of my favorite plays. And it's because of going back. So the possession prior was when they blew the protection. Then he throws the screen, or excuse me, throws the swing a little quick because he does this in the pocket when they bring up pressure. This is the next possession.
Yep.
And you can see here, his clock almost goes off again, and he almost wants to take off. You can see this little hitch. He almost pulls the ball down. He's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And then he fights it. He fights his own urges here, stays back in the pocket, says, wait a minute, and he delivers a perfect ball to Debo on the cross route. So that, to me, shows so much maturity because he was early on the previous play. They probably talked about it on the sideline. They probably went over it. He probably watched the iPad, realized that he wasn't hot, didn't need to swing in as quickly, probably gave himself a mental check. Hey, man, you got to be stronger in the pocket here. And he comes back out here, and he almost does it. I just love watching it. He's about to pull the ball down and run, and then he says, no. Like, that's how quick his brain thinks. No, man, I can stay in his pocket another second.
I love watching this from the end zone view, because you see that, yeah, right? And you're like, oh, yep. he so badly wants to. It's funny that you brought this play up, because this is an this is a play that I wanted to tell you about or ask you about, because well, real quickly, first of all, if he does decide to run, he probably gets it, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
I mean,
that's the advantage of having that.
It wouldn't have been like the worst decision ever, because if he actually decides to run it, I mean, I don't know. There are a couple of players out there, but with his speed and, you know, his elusiveness, he's certainly going to get close to it. But this was one of the plays that I was going to ask you about, because in the opener against the Giants and then even against Green Bay, you didn't do the Giant film, but you did the Green Bay film. We talked a little bit about he's just off a tick accuracy-wise. It's not like he's off badly, but last year the accuracy was just impeccable. This throw to Debo is a bit behind Debo. He makes the catch. It's where a receiver can make a catch. It's not a bad throw, but he doesn't lead him in this case. It's a little bit behind him, right? Did you see, you know, this would be an example. Did you see that as anything that you would have said, yeah, that, you know, I could have downgraded him for some of the throws that he made that weren't perfect. Like he was high to Ertz at the end of the first half and missed that, or it was catchable.
Yeah, I mean, I gave that, that's a drop to me, to Ertz.
It was catchable. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And that's your job, Ertz. You're not in there to block at all. You are the receiving tight end. It's 2-minute drill. You got to have that. But sure, you could say that's a little high. Here, I don't want to, you know, act like I'm defending him too much, but it's because that little hitch he does, he doesn't really get to step in this ball because now the offensive lineman's kind of in his lap.
Yep.
And I would say that probably hurt his father a little bit.
But
watch this from the end zone again and watch Chris Paul. I mean, he mauls 99 down into all of his other defenders. Then he picks up the twist. And he's one arm in both of these dudes.
Oh, wow.
Like,
yeah.
I'm on the Chris Paul Pro Bowl early bandwagon. I mean, I'm telling you what, he's the best lineman I've watched every game consistently.
Wow.
He's a good player. And when you get the other guard back, this line could be crazy good.
There's
Tunsil. Tunsil showed himself. This was his best game. He actually looked like dominant in the first half and handled the edge. I know they don't have their best pass rusher, but there was no inkling of a pass rush coming from the left side. So by far Tunsil's best game, but Paul was consistent, and these guys up front just played really well.
Real quickly, two other plays. Back to the McCaffrey throw. I observed this last year with him, and even at LSU. He doesn't have to actually step in to a deep throw. It's like it's a flick of the wrist. Do you know what I mean? Like some guys have to kind of wind up and step. Yeah, and it's just a flick of the wrist for him.
Yeah, and it's just arm strength and arm mechanics, and he's just got it. That's all you can say. Like the flick of the wrist stuff reminds you of Mike Vick. He could just flick it, and it would go 60, 70 yards easy.
Yeah.
So you just have that in you. That's his DNA. I mean, obviously, he's worked on his craft, but you either have that or you don't have that.
Right.
And he's got it. I mean, the touch on it was just so good because he still put enough height on it that McCaffrey could run under it and it could drop in the bucket so the DB can't even come his arm across because it's not on a rope. So he doesn't even have a chance to break it up because it's come in high and soft. Just such a pretty ball.
Yeah, it's a pretty ball. The other play I wanted to ask you about is it's in the third quarter, 13-16. It's 10-10 there, the opening drive of the second half. And I wrote this one down because to me, like, this is where last year as a rookie quarterback, it's like he's so advanced. Like he sees it and it's out, the mechanics, the quick release, the accuracy. But it's the throw to Tay Martin, number 13. And it's just, it's a first and 10, 9-yard, you know, throw. But his release and his decisiveness is just so, it's been so advanced for a player this young.
Yeah, this is, I don't want to minimize that because it is a good play, but it's a good play call knowing the coverage you're going to get. So you pre-snap, you want zone coverage for this.
Right.
Because that's a spot route, what we call. That's a spot route by Tay, and you're going to get the running back to pull that flat defender out. So pre-snap, so this is clear to me that pre-snap, he reads this as zone coverage, whether right now I would call it before the snap, that looks like a cover four. That was what we would call cover four, which is a zone coverage. So you're still going to get a flat defender coming from inside the box. So this play is going to work. Now, at the snap of the ball, it changes to cover three. You see that top safety flies down to go cover the flat.
Yeah.
But it's still the same principle. You're going to have a flat defender, and you're going to have a deep defender, and you're going to have an inside-the-box guy. So his pre-snap, post-snap reads are right on the money. And it's tall timing, right? He can't wait at all. Otherwise, this will get broken up. So, yes, I agree. It's a pre-snap read, and it's a post-snap confirmation, and it's happening in a split second. And that's a great first down play.
Yeah.
That, and you're off to the races.
And yeah, I think that's awesome. That's part of it is that, you know, he's a young quarterback, and he all last year, same thing. He sees it pre-snap. He understands what's happening post, and then he's got the throwing mechanics with the quick release that makes that play like a natural for him always.
Yeah, right. If you become a team that sees a lot of zone coverage, then you're going to call more of these type of plays, and you're going to be able to see this more and more. Now what?
Well, they saw a lot of zone coverage last year because they didn't want him to run. So
I was just going to say, you're going to get that because you don't want to play. It's what happened to Washington in the first series of the game. They ran man coverage, turned their backs to Herbert, and he busted out a 40-yarder because you lose contain in the rush lanes, and all your guys are covering man-to-man defense.
Right.
So, yes, that is a Jason Daniels thing that you have to call more zone coverage against them. And so they should have a bunch of these, you know, five of these ready to go at every down and distance, first and 10, second and six. If you think you're getting the zone, then you call this play and you let Jaden Daniels do what he does.
I actually have one more play that I want to ask you about. I lied. The last play was not the last Jaden play that I wanted to talk to you about. If you go to the second drive of the game, you know, they went three and out to start. Second drive of the game, they had a first down on a Kroski Merritt run. And it's like a third and eight, third and nine. And he scrambles. This is when he slipped and he ended up changing his shoes after he slipped. Do you think that he should have thrown the check down to McNichols?
Okay, yeah. So I see the play you're talking about. Now, man, this could have been real crappy. So go to the end zone view here.
Yeah, if he had pitched it to him, are you going to tell me to lateral?
Yeah. He could have been real crappy. But right off the bat, I want to say no, because he's not – this isn't hot. This is a blown protection. So Wiley is responsible for that – I can't see who the number is there. That's Henley, right? Number zero.
Yeah.
But on the snap of the ball, Wiley checks him, and he doesn't rush right away. So Wiley thinks he's going to be a dropper, but he just leaves his eyesight too quick. Daniels thinks this is picked up. So Henley coming into his face right away, I think, startles him because he doesn't think he's going to have a free rusher on him. And so now it's instinct. I got this free rusher bailing down on me in the A-gap because he's not hot. This isn't a hot route where he should automatically go to McNichols.
Right.
This should be picked up, and he should be able to look downfield and hit one of these two crossing routes that you see going in front of him.
Got it.
But that guy flashes in front of him. He's in the A-gap, and he's like, oh, my gosh, now I got to make a play. So, they're lucky that he even got out of the pocket here and got, you know, 3-4 yards.
Right.
But if he could have parlayed this into a pitch here, then you're talking.
It's a touchdown. Yeah.
Then you're like, you know, top 10, number one.
Yeah, I mean, I said that. I said, like, right when he starts towards the line of scrimmage, he could unload it real quickly because he already sucks the defense up. Or if he's beyond, certainly, he could, you know, he could throw a, you know, an actual pass lateral across to McNichols, and then McNichols literally takes it 65, 7, you know, 60 yards for a touchdown. Okay.
So when I'm watching it, I'm not going to knock him for not being able to ad-lib on a backyard play.
Yeah.
His initial read, he thinks he should be picked up. They blow the coverage up front, and now he's just got to read and react.
You think Kingsbury and Quinn get upset if he ends up lateraling that?
Not if it goes for a touchdown.
Right. I mean, see, you know,
and I mean, any don't take a hit.
I mean,
I think it's a pretty safe lateral.
Yeah,
for all intents and purposes, but you don't see many people make this type of play.
No, you don't. But you know, you also don't have a quarterback that makes puts the defense in conflict as much as mm-hmm. he does. And
yeah.
those opportunities do exist once he moves towards the line of scrimmage as a runner. I mean, you get a lot of opportunities because they're coming up 9 times out of 10, right?
I mean, yeah. I'm watching it again now. I keep replaying it. It's certainly, he definitely looks, I think he's looking at the defender, whether or not he's going to grab his leg. I was going to say, it looks like he looked over to the left having Nicholas, but I think he's looking at the defender there.
All right.
But even if he'd have fake pitch it right there and then cut up, it would have been nice. But,
His grade.
I mean, he's A+. His grade was, I said it earlier, it's the highest grade I've given any player since I've been doing it. I didn't find any flaws in his game. I mean, you're nitpicking, right? We're kind of nitpicking this, right? We're nitpicking if we're trying to find flaws in him. So he was great. Really good game for him to come back. The rust was really short-lived, in my opinion. You mentioned a couple of balls that were misthrown, sure. But overall, really good performance from him. I'll give him an A+ for sure.
He had some really good stuff on Bill Krosky Merritt. He still believes, by the way, the coverage, and we saw it on the first three drives before the Quan Martin hit on Quentin Johnston. He said they're still really struggling in man coverage and communication, but pass rush can certainly mask those back end problems, and they've got to be consistent. He absolutely loves Armstrong and Kinlaw so far. You can find the entire film breakdown on my podcast at thekevinsheehanshow.com. All right, we've got NFL power rankings. I've got some smell test picks. Are we getting coordinators that are talking today? Should be. Joe Witt Jr. and Kingsbury today, so we'll have some of that sound or certainly some of what they have said before the end of the show. I do want to tell you about IHOP. This segment was brought to you by IHOP. Introducing the IHOP value menu, where all your breakfast faves are just $6 each every day. Where else can you get a big, filling, sit-down breakfast for only $6? Get to your happy plates with the $6 IHOP value menu available every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, it is hard this week to do an NFL power rankings. After the two remaining unbeatens lost, Buffalo and Philadelphia. By the way, that was the earliest in an NFL season that we have lost all of the unbeaten teams since 2014. In that particular season, nobody won more than 12 games in the regular season. 16-game schedule, but there were no 13-3s, no 14-2s. There were several 12-4s, but nobody won more than 12 games that year. The 72 Dolphins cracked the champagne, uncorked it pretty early this year. Look, I am going to go 1 through 5 because I think the only easy call right now is the number one team in the league, and that's the Detroit Lions. I think the Lions right now deserve to be in a power rankings, the number one team. It's not just record-based. They're 4-1. They're one loss coming in the opener, week one to Green Bay. They've been super impressive since. They're really good on both sides of the ball. Healthy defensively, we knew that they could be really good. Now, they lost corner Terrion Arnold. That's a big loss, especially considering they've got the Chiefs, the Bucks, the Vikings, Washington, and Philadelphia in terms of their next five games. We're going to learn a lot about the Lions. All right, KC at Arrowhead, Tampa, the Minnesota Vikings, Washington, and the Eagles are the next five games for the Lions. But I'm impressed with everything they do offensively. The key to that team is healthy on defense and then protect Goff. And you protect him with a really good running game and then everything that comes off that running game. When he is play action off of a real threat to run the football, man, they protect. And what an offensive line that is. Detroit, for me, is the obvious number one team in the league through 5 weeks, of course, subject to change. Number two, this is where, you know, you got a lot of options. I'll go Buffalo, even though they lost. And I'll chalk it up to, you know, they had three turnovers in the game, uncharacteristic. I think there's a concern defensively with them. I really do. And let's face it, the four wins they got, the Ravens on opening night, we've seen what they've turned out to be defensively, you know, even before the injuries, not great on defense. And then they beat the Jets, Dolphins, and Saints. And, you know, you go back to that Saint game after they lost to the Patriots, they were up 21-16 midway through the fourth quarter with the Saints on the move. Can you imagine if they had lost to the Saints that day? They were 14.5, 15-point favorites. So there, and I actually think they got a tough spot Monday night in Atlanta. That's the first game Monday night. Our game is the second game. But I'm going to put Buffalo there because of Josh Allen and James Cook and, you know, they I think they're the second best team, but there's a lot of candidates for it. Look, I moved a 3-2 team into the 3 spot. I moved Denver all the way up to the 3 spot. Denver should be worst case 4-1. They lost to the Colts after committing a penalty on a missed field goal at the gun, giving the Colts a second opportunity, a stupid penalty. And then they lost at the gun to the Chargers. I mean, they got two losses on walk-off field goals, both on the road against Indy and the Chargers. Now, they've beaten the Titans, a bad Bengals team, but they went to Philadelphia and proved it. Nick Benito's an absolute stud and star. I love everything about their attack. You know, it's smart, and they've got players. Cortland Sutton's been a good player. J.K. Dobbins is having an excellent season. They've got that rookie in R.J. Harvey. He can do some stuff. I think there are a lot of, you know, potentials here. I just don't like Philadelphia right now. Not now. I mean, I think they'll get it together, but right now, I've got Denver as the third best team in the league. That seems crazy. Number four is another team, 3-2, coming off a loss. I just still love the Rams. I really like the LA Rams. I think they're better than the Niners. I know they didn't win the game, But I think over the next 12, the Rams will prove out to be the better team. I think they're just loaded on both sides of the ball. And Puka Nacua right now is a legitimate MVP candidate on his way. I mean, he is trending, you know, and tracking towards the greatest season in the history of the NFL for a wide receiver. And they have so much, you know, they got so many more things. Kyren Williams in the backfield, obviously. And the Stafford-Devontae Adams connection is starting to work. Tutu Atwell's a really good deep threat. They've got speed. I like the Rams. I've got a 3-2 team at number 3 and a 3-2 team at number 4. And then at number 5, I'm going to put Denton's, you know, team that he loved before the season started. They won, you know, the game of the year in terms of just the quality of the game. I'm going to put Tampa Bay in at 5. Baker Mayfield's a legitimate MVP candidate as well. Had one of the great, you know, road quarterbacked games in Seattle in recent memory. 29 of 33 for 379, 2 touchdowns. It wasn't a perfect passer rating, but it was a 90.7 QBR. He had some effective runs in the game. Basically didn't have a rushing attack. No Bucky Irving in the game on Sunday against Seattle. He did it all with the rookie receiver from Ohio State, Igbuka. And Godwin was back. Didn't have Mike Evans in the game. I mean, they didn't have Bucky Irving or Mike Evans in the game. I mean, I think the only thing you say about Tampa is they're sitting there at 4-1, and they squeaked by Atlanta, they squeaked by Houston, they squeaked by the Jets, and they squeaked by Seattle. And they were getting their, you know, what's handed to them by the Eagles until late when they got back into that game. I mean, I left off San Francisco, Green Bay. Who else did I leave off? KC, I mean, they're a 2-3 football team. Indy, didn't put them in the top 5. Jacksonville, didn't put them in the top 5. You could make cases for other teams. You know what? You could start to make the case if you really believe that Jaden Daniels is going to be Jaden Daniels the rest of the way, that Washington is certainly going to climb. But they've got a brutal, you know, road ahead here. There it is. That's my top 5. Detroit 1, Buffalo 2, Denver 3, the Rams 4, and Tampa Bay 5. Max, go ahead.
Kevin, you left my number 1 team off of your top 5.
You don't have Detroit at number 1?
No, and here's why. So I got the Packers at number 1 still. They're coming. I think they're beneficiaries of the bye week for me. Because last time we saw them, they're coming off a tie to the best offense in the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys. They played really well, just, you know, coming back. But at the same time, Packers still beat the Lions. They own their numbers. They got to beat the best to be the best. So that's kind of my line of thinking on that. I've just got to see the Lions.
You got a
2-1-1
team as the number one team in the league.
I know.
I think it's a hard conversation. I'm not killing you for it. I think if Detroit played Green Bay this Sunday, Detroit's the better team.
Yeah.
I mean, week one is always a little bit of a fake. Like, by the way, you pointed something out. They played, you know, statistically the best offensive team in Dallas, and they played the best defensive team the week before in Cleveland. And they came out of that 0-1-1 in those two games.
It is tough, but I mean, like I said, gotta beat them to get ahead of them. So my next one at number 3 is going to be the Buffalo Bills coming off a loss.
Wait a minute, 2 you've got Detroit.
Yes, just 2 out of Detroit. Okay. Yeah, that's my 1-2. NFC North looking good right now. Bills coming off a loss. I got them at number 3. I still think they're going to make some noise in the AFC playoffs, but they can certainly be beaten, like we saw on Sunday. So I think that one of these teams that might be rounding out my top 5 could beat them in the playoffs, especially with how good their defense is. Number 4, my Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're so fun. Baker's a dog. Did you see him talking to the Seahawks fans pregame when he was in the tunnel before the team came out?
I did not.
Oh, it was, yeah. Baker was talking a gang of that S. So he's a dog. Emeka Igbuka's incredible. He Bill Kroski Merritt, Rookie of the Week, but Emeka Egbuka certainly right on the heels of him. Certainly could have won that award. So Bucks are at number four, and then number five, the Broncos. That defense is incredible. Their offensive line is the best in the NFL. Bo Nix just needs to settle down, calm, just read the defense and make the throw. Because his offensive line is doing everything for him right now. So my top five: Packers, Lions, Bills, Bucks, Broncos. My outside looking in, I do have the Rams, the Eagles, Indianapolis, and Washington. You mentioned the Jags. I'm not fully sold on them yet. They did beat the Chiefs. Credit to them. Big win. But the Chiefs are not what we've seen the past couple of years. So I think they're getting a little bit too much credit, especially on the books this week against Seattle. So give me Seattle this weekend, too. That's going to be my smell test pick.
Is there a team that we're not even considering right now that 4 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now, we could be like, whoa, how do we miss that?
Texans, I think, could turn it around.
That is exactly the one I was thinking about.
Yeah, I think
their defense is so good, and I think Stroud's good. And they haven't had Mixon.
Yeah,
now they play Seattle, you know, they've got a bye week this week, but then it's Seattle, and they've got the 49ers and Broncos and Jags after that, so we'll find out. But I think the Texans are long from being away from being dead in that division. I think they definitely have a chance to be a part of that mix. And I would also, you know, just say the Chiefs, too, but I think that they're not far from top of mind.
Right.
Yeah. That's exactly the team that I was thinking about. I'll give you one other team that I was thinking about a little bit. I mean, I think people know that Seattle's a good football team, but I'm going to throw out Atlanta. I think the Falcons are actually a little bit of a dangerous football team. This Monday night game coming off their bye week against the Bills off that loss, I think that this is upset alert for the Bills in Atlanta. And then they've got, you know, teams like the Dolphins and the Patriots and the Panthers and the Saints and the Jets ahead. I hope that Atlanta doesn't get into the mix, because you're going to lose that tiebreaker, you know, with the Falcons, as you would with Green Bay if they don't win the division in you know, wild card races. Washington's two losses, remember, are NFC losses. That's not good. Last year, one of the benefits of their early losses were that, you know, after Tampa Bay in the opener, they were AFC losses, remember, to Baltimore and then to Pittsburgh. So that's always a benefit. You don't want your losses to be conference losses. And they've got two of them, and they've got two against teams that one team's definitely going to be in the mix, the Packers, I think. And I think the Falcons are sneaky. I think Penix Jr. can play, and they've got talent. The Bears are interesting because they've got the same kind of level of talent around the quarterback question. Interesting. I think the Bears, though, you know, with Caleb, may be in a better situation coaching-wise, but don't count out the Falcons. I bet you people would say don't count out the Bears after they won two games in a row. This is a big game for Chicago Monday night. Like, they're probably looking at this thing, if you're a Bears fan, right, and they lost the first two, you know, they got blown out by Detroit, you know, and Ben Johnson Ben Johnson got blown out by his former team in week two, and then they came back and they hammered the Cowboys, and they just barely got by the Raiders, who aren't very good. But if you're a Chicago fan, you're thinking, we win Monday night, and we're 3-2, and we got the Saints after that. We've got the Bengals and Giants coming up. We could be in the mix in this first year of Ben Johnson. This is huge for Chicago. Huge for Washington, too, don't get me wrong. But it's a huge game for Chicago, and they've got a lot of motivation after what happened last year. Interesting league right now, man. No more unbeatens. There doesn't seem to be a juggernaut team. I mean, Detroit might be the closest thing to it in terms of what it looks like right now. You're two undefeateds through the first 4 weeks. One was a bit question marky anyway in Philadelphia. Now it's a bigger question mark. Buffalo losing that game, and you look at the Patriots schedule, you're like, look, the AFC East isn't even safe anymore. Baltimore is at 1-4, maybe on the verge of going to 1-5, but they're favored to win their division. Just some weird stuff, man, so far. It's great. There's just so much parity this year. And there's high-level parity, especially in the NFC when you consider Detroit, Tampa, the Rams, the 49ers, the Packers, the Eagles, Washington, and some people are going to start saying teams like Dallas and Chicago could put in, and Atlanta could be in the mix. You know, the Panthers and the Saints are the worst teams, I think you'd consider the worst teams in the NFC, and they're coming off wins. The Giants might be the worst team in the NFC, but they won 1-2 weeks ago against the Chargers, and it was just turnovers that cost them against the Saints. And they might be coming off a win going into their next win next week's game after tonight. And that's where we're going to go next. Smell test after this.
All right. Happy Thursday, everybody. Here's what's happening and what you missed last night. The Cleveland Browns are going into full fire sale mode after they traded Greg Newsom to the Jaguars. We got some playoff baseball last night. The Tigers force a game 5 versus the Mariners by a score of 9-3. The Chicago Cubs, they hold off the Milwaukee Brewers 4-3 to cut the series lead in half. The Toronto Blue Jays eliminate the New York Yankees from postseason contention in a 5-2 victory. And the Philadelphia Phillies lit up the LA Dodgers 8-2 to stave off elimination. To hockey, Caps, they fall to the Bruins in the season opener by a score of 3-1. A tight game where the Caps had the upper hand early, but unable to capitalize on the power play and on scoring chances. Bruins, they get the first goal. Caps get one back later on the power play. And then moments later, Bruins retake the lead. And that was all she wrote. Tonight, we got some NFC East football on tap for Thursday night. Eagles making the bus ride to East Rutherford to take on the New York Giants at MetLife. Kickoff at 8:15. Pregame starts right here on the Team 980 at 8 p.m. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Full-fledged smell test tomorrow with a lot of games. I think I'm going to have this week. I only had 7 last week. 4-3 was the record. So it has started off this year pretty good. 6 straight winning weeks. 6-0 in terms of more wins than losses. Overall, 40-26-4 on the season, hitting at 61%, just short of 61% on the season. So I said earlier that there were going to be multiple smell test picks. There's actually just going to be one. And I'll tell you what the other one almost was. A little bit more information has me off it. But the Giants tonight, plus the points. There are a lot of sevens out there, but there are plenty of seven and a halves out there. So I'll take the 7.5 with New York at home against Philly. There is an expectation that Philly bounces back tonight against a team that most people think stinks in the Giants. I've mentioned this. You've watched the Giants the last couple weeks. You know that they are very capable defensively, especially with their pass rush. Now, they lost another piece. They're an injured football team right now, a little bit more so than they were over the weekend. They lost Slayton. He is out tonight with a hamstring. They lost Malik Nabers in the game against the Chargers. So the number of options for Jackson Dart aren't very good, and they're going against a very good defense. But I think this will be a game that gets determined by mistakes. The team that makes the most will lose the game. But even the team that makes the most, if it's the Giants, I think they can hang within the 7.5. I think this is a close football game. New York's played in a very motivated way in the last couple of weeks since going to Jackson Dart. I think that's been the most noticeable thing about the Giants. They are very, very enthusiastic defensive football team. Abdul Carter is playing at a high level. Burns and Thibodeau and Okereke, and of course Dexter Lawrence is an absolute stud. It's too bad they lost the game on Sunday. Not too bad, because I actually bet New Orleans. It was all about the turnovers. They led the game 14-3 and then decided to hand the ball to New Orleans five times. Okay, not two or three turnovers, five turnovers, one of which got returned 86 yards for a touchdown. The Giants were down 19-14 going in for the go-ahead score early in the fourth quarter, and there was a fumble and a return 86 yards, and that pretty much cinched it. But in that game, man, Spencer Rattler was okay, and Kendra Miller, and I talked about him earlier in the week, maybe yesterday. I like him. He's going to become a good running back in this league, but they gave up one big-time play offensively, and that was it. And it was to Shahid, who can really fly. I like the Giants tonight, plus the 7.5. It is an official pick. The other one that I was almost going to give out was the under in this game. It's 40.5. A lot of sharp action on the under. This started at 41.5, 42. It's down to 40.5. The public action's a little bit more split on it than I would like. That's why I'm going to back off it. But, typically in these standalone games, I've talked about this over the years, the average bettor, it just loves to play overs because they're just easier to root for. So if you're going to sit down for Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football or Sunday Night Football and you're going to bet a total, you're going to bet the over if you're not, a typical sharp bettor, because it's more fun and it's easier to root for. It's painful to root for the under, especially when the number's low, like 40.5 tonight. You're hoping for runs and clock movement, and if they're going to throw it, it's short, but it's caught so the clock moves, and then you don't want a lot of punts. You want some first downs until they get to about the 40, and then you want them to go backwards and then punt it. It's hard to root for unders when the number is short, and that's why I like the under tonight. I personally will probably play under 40.5, but it's not an official play. The official play is the Giants plus the 7.5. So that'll kick it off. No college action tonight, just the NFL game plus 7.5. I wish I had talked about this yesterday, because I'm into the baseball and I'm betting the baseball. I had the Yankee Blue Jay under last night, 8.5. Everybody was on the over with the number of runs that had been scored in that series, and it ended 5-2 under. And tonight, the Dodgers in Game 4 with Glasnow, they are a short favorite. So I kind of like the Phillies tonight to force that series back to Philadelphia for a Game 5. We'll see what happens there. Kind of like the under there as well. There will be a lot of overaction. And that number's 8. Those are not smell test picks. Football only. And the NCAA tournament. We do that every year. So the Giants plus the 7.5. Anything coming out of the park on Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury Day that's interesting, Ben? Ben, Max. I'm reading Ben right now.
Cliff Kingsbury did say this little thing about Bill that I think is interesting. He said he has a ways to go with his play without the ball. He mentioned pass pro, pass game, and any sort of lead blocking. He has to keep working to become the complete back, but since day one when he touches the ball, he does good things with it. So Bill, while getting all this praise, he still has a lot of room to grow in the eyes of the coaching staff.
Yeah, the Suter pointed out that he was outstanding, but that he essentially did what he was supposed to do, that the blocking was insanely good. There's one run in the third quarter. He rips off a run. It's a counter, and he's untouched to the third level, and then he can't get by the safety. And Suter's point is, with running backs and offensive lines, if you get that guy to the third level, it's the safety is on the running back at that point. It was an outstanding tackle, but he just pointed out how there are just, at least Sunday, there were gaping opportunities, and there were a lot of opportunities to get to level 2 and level 3 even without even being touched. But Suter likes him for sure. Yeah. I wanted to leave with just this one thing. So the college basketball season is right around the corner. Today's Big Ten Media Day in college hoops. Maryland is going to essentially open up its season with Georgetown on November 7th. We're less than a month away. It's a Friday night game. Maryland-Georgetown resuming this, and it's going to become a regular thing. And this particular game, this year's game, is in College Park. Next year's game will be at Capital One. And because of TV, it's a Fox Sports One game. They set the starting time for 6 p.m. on a Friday night. This is what I was talking to Jim Smith about the other day. We were talking more about football, but some basketball. You just can't take Maryland in the biggest market in the Big Ten traffic-wise, other than L.A. Okay, L.A. is now a part of it. And have games start at 6 o'clock. You'll have a great crowd in the second half for that game. I know how their crowds work. It's impossible to get to College Park if you're coming from almost anywhere except for College Park on a Friday in rush hour and get there for a 6 o'clock tip. They're airing Houston and UCF as the late game at 8:30. It should have been flip-flopped. Still looking forward to Maryland and Georgetown on November 7th to start, hopefully, something we will get every year. All right, done for the day. Tomorrow, big football show. Chris Russell's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.